Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hello, darling beaks. We've got a really fun one as a sort of Easter special today. We recorded this episode live at the brilliant Leicester Comedy Festival, where the audience joined me, Britain's Got Talent star Deliso Chaponda, and the amazing Hattie Ashdown in scoffing a nice bit of breakfast chocolate. Yeah, boy. Before we get stuck in, just my usual thank you for listening and spreading the word about Hoovering. Thank you for listening and for spreading the word about Hoovering. And a slightly louder, thank you, if you're also my patron, thank you. You can be one too if you want. Just go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. It's effectively where I swap very cool things for a little, or if you want a lot, of your dosh. From early and ad-free episodes to discount or free tickets to live shows like this. In my news, you can stream a very emotional and hopefully also very funny episode of World's Most Dangerous Roads I made with Desiree Birch in Colorado on Dave. It's also on actual Dave this Sunday night at 8 p.m. That's the 24th of March, and it's streamable now already on UK TV Play. The main thing I need to scream about to you is that I am on tour, and I would love you to come. I've been on the road for 6 weeks now, and it's been amazing. The show is called Metal, and it's the best thing I've ever written, if I don't say so myself. I've already been around Scotland and a few other places, and I've already sold out loads of places, but there's loads more dates and room for you, so come. I'm in a huge venue in Brighton tonight, which is very nearly sold out, and in April I'm coming to Pocklington, Hull, Manchester, Newcastle, Guildford, Southend, Maidstone. Cardiff is full, but Plymouth isn't yet. And I've just moved to a bigger venue. And then in May and June, I'm rammed as well. Come, I'm in places like Oxford, the Machynlleth Festival, Wells Festival. I'm all over Ireland, Dublin. Please, please, hopefully see you there. If you're listening in Australia and you're like, oh, fuck off about this, you can stream my last show, Wench, instead, for free. It's on YouTube. Links to all these things are in my podcast notes, and there's a link tree on my Instagram, at Jessica Bostecue. Right, lovely ones, let's get into this super funny episode, which begins with a huge and wild live audience going crazy.
Friends, please welcome to the Hoovering Podcast live from the Leicester Comedy Festival. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Oh, right. Take a little minute for the noise of the whole arena to die down. Hello. How are you doing? Are we well?
Yeah. Yes.
Fantastic. We are also, well, my name is Jess Fostercue. If we haven't met before, it's lovely to meet you. And I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves. Perhaps if you could tell me your name, your profession, and one other interesting thing about you, perhaps when it comes to eating.
Okay, I am Deliso Chaponda. I am a writer / comedian, as you are, and food related. I'm allergic to fish.
Ooh.
But the problem with that is I remember as a child eating fish and liking it.
Oh.
So it must have just kicked in, or it's a certain kind of fish. But now I avoid it all, but I've still got youthful memory of liking fish cakes.
Yeah. Whoa. I think you can develop allergies. Yes.
Oh, then I guess I developed it. I developed it as I went along. And I resent it because couldn't I have developed an allergy to something I hated the taste of?
Yeah, if only it was an allergy to sprouts.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, no
okay.
fish.
Oh, that's so fascinating. And not just shellfish, all fish.
Oh, so it's fish, but then I reacted to prawns once. Mm. Now, I don't know if it's because they were being kept with fish, but now I just avoid it all.
Some rumblings from the audience there. I think prawns are a pretty sensitive subject. I had an ex-partner once who phoned in sick to his job and then just said, "I've had a bad prawn." That was the whole phone
That's
call.
That
was the entire call. Fabulous. Thank you for joining me, Deliso.
Hello. Yes, I'm Hattie Ashdown. I'm a comedian, podcaster, mom. I don't know why I went down on that one, didn't I?
At least in this context, you didn't go comedian, mum, podcaster.
Yes. Actually, yeah, I should have done.
In this moment, would have been
just
worse.
Just another podcaster. Yeah. Food thing. I mean, I just like it all, pretty much. But I'm really bad at cooking it, unfortunately. I once was known to burn fish fingers and chips 3 times.
Whoa.
And on the 3rd time, I just grated cheese on it and then just gave it to my kids and went, "That'll do." They didn't care.
Oh,
so at least I know how to sort of polish a turd, really, don't I?
Love to hear it. Also, I haven't... Hattie's one of my cursed people.
Oh, God, of course.
Do you have this... I don't know if you have... I have
I
comedians...
Was you there are say
I
that.
Have comedians I can't have a good gig in front of. And then in broader, much more relatable life, I have people who, whenever I cook for them, it, like, goes to shit. Even if I followed the recipe exactly. And I'm yet to make edible dinner or lunch for Hattie Ashton.
She thinks so, but I disagree.
Bad. I made you a soup that tasted of water and...
Soup was a bit...
That was rank.
It looked like sick.
It looked like sick. Tasted of fuck all. What a terrible combination. But a spicy fish.
The other one...
That would have killed you.
That
but
would have killed me.
I made you an Ottolenghi fish recipe that I thought, this is an absolute fail-safe. I must have used... Do you know sometimes where you get like one evil chili that's like as hot as 12 normal chilies... And it can fuck up a dish that was meant to be amazing. I did that to you, didn't I?
Because I do have a soft palate. So I can't,
soft palate.
I can't sensitive.
Yeah, sensitive.
But we were talking before. I think it's harder now. Like just like everything else, like the soles of my feet. You know, I think my tongue's just numbing a bit.
Oh great!
So you know, cook for me soon because now I'm
great,
just like
now your taste buds are nice and dead.
Yeah.
You might be able to enjoy it.
Also, I think I've lost my willpower to do long, long, long recipes.
Oh.
I did not know what you were going to say then.
I thought you were going to be like, I can't do more than a 1-course meal. I am very much bored.
No, I can eat as much. I can eat as much as long. But I used to, like, if people were coming over, I would cook for 4 hours, 4 or 5 hours. You know what I mean? And I would make all sorts of things that need to simmer, things that you need to prepare the day before to marinate all night.
Yeah.
I've become increasingly lazy. So now it's like stuff that I can whip up in an hour tops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. I have phases on that. I have phases of being like, I'm gonna labour over this little bastard for a full Sunday, like, and then I won't do that for 3 or 4 months. We're on tour at the moment,
yes,
and that's how, because I love cooking. So I've had 2 nights in, and I'm cooking. I better be cooking. That's my last chance to cook for a week. But I think that's, I don't know if that's born out of passion more than guilt, parental guilt. Which is not as healthy
that
or as cool. So I think as a team, ooh, there's all different things. I got us to share, because we're all brothers and sisters here, like any sibling could ever share an Easter egg.
Yeah.
A Maltesers crunchy egg, because I thought it was new to this year. Oh, I thought we'd try something with a bit of novelty. And, we've got in here a Maltesers bunny each. Oh, a bag of Maltesers mini bunnies. A pointless red shelf. And look at the size of this. Oh, Nelly.
I used to do an Easter egg-related joke.
Tell us. Let's do it.
So I was trying to get to the bottom of why eggs are associated with Easter. Yeah. Right? And then I was thinking, like...
He's resurrecting the joke. Sorry. Go on.
There you go. That is better than my joke.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, it's superior.
You mustn't do the topper first.
It's superior. You know what? Mine is useless, now that I think about it.
There
were a lot of things that are comparable between, like, eggs and Jesus.
Right.
Like, yeah. 12 eggs, 12 disciples, right? And there's always one cracked egg.
Oh.
Judas, baby.
Judas, baby.
That's it. The resurrected thing was better.
That was fucking great.
Sorry.
That was... Oh, my God.
I was so distracted by this young man, the way he was eating the cream egg.
Oh!
So decadent. But do you want to get to that later?
I wish I'd watched it now. Is it... Are we saying, in a polite way, one for the wank bank? A little bit.
No. Just really, like, so elegant. Not for the wank bank. No, just elegant.
Elegant is something I don't believe my eating will ever be described as elegant. I don't want to do that in public. What I do to one.
I don't know if there's a comedian, Damien Larkin, and at a meal we were all talking, and he said shh because he was on his last bite, and he wanted to eat it in silence.
Wow.
I love that,
Damien. And I
thought,
wow, that is some savouring the final, yeah.
I think that's exactly the sort of reverence that's required, actually.
Yeah.
It's not a performance sport. Thank you very much.
No, I'm sorry I observed
you. Special spiritual moment.
Yes!
And Matty is just complimenting a man on his prayer style. Right, I want to know how you deal with this, Hats, this egg. But how would you go in?
Oh, I probably...
I know.
How would I vet it as a child and how I'd eat it?
Yes, okay,
now
we can get into that.
It's different.
We're looking at a huge, if you're listening, golden foil covered egg. It's bigger than average, I'd say.
I think I'm actually the other way around. As a kid, I would have just done a little tap, you know, break it up a little bit. But now I just want to experience that feeling of just going into it. Well, that
you
want
to bite in.
Yeah,
you want to bite in.
What's your thought? Wrap a still on it.
I'd crack it. I'd hit it. Like, hit it like it's a coconut. And then, like, there'll be bits and pieces of chocolate, which I...
We have represented a very diverse approach to this because my desire is to drop it from far away.
Oh!
Onto the floor.
See what happens.
Yeah.
I once saw this is a very mysterious burlesque dancer.
Oh.
Where she was dressed as a peacock.
Yeah.
Right? But with very little on, right?
Yeah.
And so the big finish was she laid an egg. And nobody.
I've seen her.
Yes. And you're like, where did the egg come from? Because there wasn't enough space to hide an egg.
Denise, it came from her vag.
You think it really did?
Yes,
I think she put it really before.
I saw somebody get a whole diamond necklace out of there once in the show that I was emceeing, and I screamed.
You were
emceeing? I didn't think I meant to do that.
How do you emcee that?
She was doing really sexy dancing around a chair, and then out of nowhere, as far as I'm concerned, I'm creaming the whole necklace.
Exactly.
Flinging it all around.
Wasn't in Benidorm, was it? No.
No.
He knows.
Embankment. Okay, right. You want to give it a hard... Were you giving it a hard knock? Oh, you wanted to chomp
in. As a kid,
I
would,
you should be going first if you're going to chomp in.
I would chomp it. Just experience that.
Should I drop it?
Yeah, go on.
Drop it.
I really want to. I'm going to drop it.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like...
Steady. Eddie?
Oh, that's a good sound.
Yeah.
That's satisfying sound.
That's about 120 quid's worth of therapy there. I've just had. That was absolutely bloody lovely. Please, if you could... Oh, and then we're going to need to try... Oh! I'm going to go in, before biting, with a heavy sniff. Oh, it's good.
Smell of chocolate.
It's not up there with mini eggs, but the Maltesers chocky has got a distinct smell. Lisa, can you reach for a bit? And I wanted a bit of cup of tea with this. I don't think there's a better drink to have with chocolate. Have a glug of mine, babe.
I'll sniff one.
Yeah, okay.
Right. I want details, lads. Potential chocolate sommeliers. Oh, my God.
Glorious.
This is why you're
like, so nice. We won't do this for the whole hour.
Yeah. You know Charlie and the Chocolate Factory?
The crunchy.
That's 100% your childhood favourite book.
Yeah.
Just because it's just describing decadent chocolate.
Yeah. The new Wonka film's great.
Oh, I've not seen
it. Oh, it's so good. I love the crunchy bits. I think that's... Often I think, if it's lovely, don't fuck with it. But I learnt my lesson with Kit Kat Chunkies, because that made a perfect thing better. And I'll argue with anyone who disagrees.
Kit Kat Chunkies.
And this, I think, adding a bit of... basically, like, the fetus off of the insides of a Malteser into the lining of this egg over and over again, has worked for me. I love that texture. Did you enjoy that?
Yes.
You're not sure?
No, it's just really filling. And I think you go for more teasers because, and now I'm going to sound like an advert, you know, it's like, if you don't want a lot of chocolate, then, you know, it's the lighter side of chocolate. Wasn't that one of their slogans? Yeah. Yeah. We've probably both been for an advert for more teasers. I have twice.
Fuck.
Auditioned, I think.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're always doing...
It will have been a while ago. I don't think I've done Maltesers one.
What is the very creepy ad where it's a man who's chocolate and he's being chased and women are biting bits of him? Have you seen this ad?
I always thought... Nightmare.
No. I always thought it was very sinister.
Dreams. You know?
It was Links.
That's it.
Links.
Yes.
Chocolate Links, and like put it on, and he turned into chocolate. And
yes.
Biting bits of him.
Yes. And didn't you find it like terrifying?
Yeah.
Once he turned into chocolate, it was very sort of Uncanny Valley.
Yes.
That's mad. That is wild. Because one thing, if I sniff Links, I don't think is peckish. I think teenager who's avoided a shower. Yeah. That's instead of a shower. Yeah, he still lives with his mum. That's what I think. Those things. Or fancy her. Yeah, those are the things I think if I smell Links. All right, I want to know, my panellists, about different types of Easter that you've experienced as a child, as an adult, something in between, like today. But talk to me, maybe start with you, Hats. Did you have... what was Easter like when you were growing up? Did you bother with it? I don't know if you grew up with any kind of religious leanings in any way. Were there Easter egg hunts, anything like that?
I didn't have that growing up. Like, my mum was a little bit religious when she needed him. But I do remember, and I have such lovely memories of, she wouldn't do any of the brought Easter egg boxes and stuff like that. She would make me up a little basket, and she'd put little chicks in there and little eggs and stuff,
and put it
on my windowsill.
Not live chicks.
Not live. Live chicks. Then I had to bring it up as my own.
Yeah. And that's how the chicken farm began.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
But then there was that thing of like friends were like, oh, how many eggs did you get? And all that kind of thing. And like, I got the new massive galaxy egg and all like that. And I remember being a little bit bothered, but now I'm... Do you get that thing where you're like, now I'm older? I'm like, I wasn't really. If my mum hadn't put that little basket of chicks and eggs, I'd have been distraught. But if she'd put a massive chocolate egg instead, I'd have been like, no, it's not the same. But I would, at the time, I was like, no, you know. Like,
do you know what? There's so much more thought and love and kind of care gone into what your mum did than someone who's just mind swept the top shelf of a Tesco's. It isn't there.
Which is what I do now.
So lovely. It's like we do now.
Yeah.
But I think realising as an adult, you had it the wrong way around, comes up a lot on this podcast.
Does it?
And an example that springs to mind straight away is, I remember James Acaster saying that his mum was such an incredible baker and cook, but he didn't give a fuck about it when he was a kid. And
he
would say, please, can I just have a penguin in my lunchbox, please? And so she went to the trouble of making a homemade penguin, making the fondant in the middle, the two chocolate biscuits, and coating them in chocolate. And he was embarrassed at the time.
I get
that. Because you're
a kid
and you just want a fucking penguin. But now you look back and go, oh my God, I was a monster. Like,
my mum did the same. She made her own peppermint creams.
Wow.
Where you like dip them in chocolate. But at the time, it was like, you know.
Oh, just want a Viscount.
Yeah. I just want a wagon wheel. Wow. But yeah, so. But obviously, yeah, Easter now, my kids love it. They get really excited. And I do hide the eggs around the garden. And but there's that thing of like, do I want to get up really, really early and hide them? Or do them the night before and then snails might have ate them. So you can guess which one I do. I'm lazy. I do the night before.
Yeah,
and they might have the odd snail on there. But, you know, I say it's chocolate.
Fabulous immune system, Sir Sons. What about you, Delisa? Was Easter
well,
a thing?
Well, I guess uncharacteristically for like a comedian in the UK, I was massively religious. In fact, right. I still am massively religious. In fact, I think of creativity as like a form of worship. I'm very religious.
Oh, I love it.
So when I was a kid, it was all about church. You'd go to church on Easter because, you know, things like Christmas isn't really about the religion. It's about family, but the actual religious holiday was Easter, so it was like a very big thing. And we would have a very huge Easter meal, but it wasn't eggs and stuff. It was just like, you know, roast chicken and just big, lots of family there. After church, you'd go and you'd have this big banquet of a meal.
Like a spring Christmas feast.
Yes.
I loved it.
I loved it because also, like, I was very religious and I wanted to be a preacher. That's what I wanted to be first. And I was very I don't even know why. I was for a kid. You wouldn't expect it, but I'd, like, read the Bible.
Why not?
I was very up in there.
And take joy in that, by the sounds of it. So did you do, like, the giving up stuff for Lent?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
And
that
would it always be the trad things? Like the
no, it would have to be something you genuinely find hard, because it doesn't count if you just choose something. So it's all it's actually about the sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
So like it's got to be sex.
It doesn't even need to be something that you're going to eat.
No. It has to be something that's that you value, because the idea is even so fasting. The same
it's
thing in fasting.
Got to be sex or sugar.
Really funny.
Those were really my top two things right now.
Absolutely.
But like even fasting, people do fasting wrong. They think it's about skipping eating, but it's about what you do in place of the eating. So the idea is when you would be eating, I know you didn't expect gospel, but like when you would be eating, like what the thing you sacrifice, the moments when you would be indulging in that.
So it's about the mindfulness of going, I'm remembering why I'm doing that, and I'm thinking about my Lord.
So, I said it in a way, but you got my gist. Like, I'd love to knock one out. I'm doing this for you, Jesus. Hands down. Okie dokie. Oh, God. Don't cancel us.
No, but you could imagine.
We're complicated. We're all complicated
but
people.
But imagine you die, and then you're at the gates of hell, and they're like, oh, no, you're going to hell. But you're like, but I didn't wank for like
40 days.
Okay. I don't think we can go from wanking into Cadbury's cream egg detail. But I do want to know how you eat yours. And I want detail. And I'm not going to make you do it live, because I do think there's something potentially quite personal about it.
Not like this gentleman in the front row. I just kind of... It's quite quick, actually.
Yeah.
I think I like a whole feeling. God, it's going to get sexual, isn't it? I bite off the top.
Yeah.
Then
and when you say top, do you mean the skinny top or the
skinny
bum?
Skinny top.
So you get the head off.
Get the head off and then sort of like have a little nibble of that and then the rest goes in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I like that feeling.
Somebody's gone.
Someone repulsed.
And I can't tell if they're like, I love that, or fucking animal.
Either way, let's go.
She's single, let's go. That sounds good. I want to only take the foil off the bum.
Oh.
So I've still got foil on the head, the pointy bit.
Oh.
And then I'm going to bite the bum off, and then I'm going to try and just suck that chocolate, take my time.
Right.
I'm trying to do it as slowly as I can, but I still think it probably is quite quick.
Yeah.
And I probably can't get through the whole chocolate bum, but I want the curved bit of it along the roof of my mouth, and I want that to go, and I want some sips of tea. Coffee's fine, but tea's ideal,
yeah,
and I'm not really
ideal.
A tea lady unless it's with chocolate. I'm a coffee lady. And then when that's done, then I want to tongue out the middle, and then I want...
I want to wear the rest of the chocolate like a tongue helmet.
Oh.
And then all of that goes in and I want it, but that doesn't get sucked. I've got chomped. Chomp, that gets chomped. So you have a suck bit, a lick bit, a chomp bit. It's a three-course meal.
Wow.
How you doing it, Denise?
I'm a two-bite person. Yeah.
He's a two-bite person.
I like a two-bite. Like, if they're little, like me. Like, if they're little, little eggs. So, like, you know, like Mars made eggs and they were little, then I'll just toss them in as one.
Yeah. But you chew a bit. Yeah. You choose. Yeah.
But if the because like the cream snake. Egg is too big, I will do like one bite, two bite. But like that's it.
He's having that. He's just doing it like an apple.
Yeah.
Just... Why not? Oh, I love it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm interrupting my own episode here to address some of your most brilliant answers to my listener question. If you don't know what I'm on about, you need to make sure you're following at the Hoovering Pod on Instagram or on Twitter, because I ask questions and you give me answers and they're the best ones. I get read out on the podcast or played out if you send me a voice note. Oh my God. So the question was, tell me about the most or the least fresh thing you've ever eaten. First of all, oh my word, from Beth, a text. The freshest thing I've ever eaten is a freshly cut pineapple on the white sandy beaches of Mauritius. It was cut all spirally and fancy, and you ate it like a big old lollipop. It was mind-blowing. Oh, Beth, you took me there. I've never been to Mauritius, but... Whoo, you took me there. I walked up a volcano in Nicaragua in my 20s and came back down so... dehydrated, and I remember somebody gave me a fresh pineapple in that context, and it also being like, whoa, like the most delicious rehydration tablet you've ever, like, so like better than actual sweets, even though it's absolute fruit. And the least fresh thing Beth has ever eaten, tinned asparagus, and then she's put as one word, oh sweet disgusting vomitness. Yeah, don't fancy trying that. Asparagus is the sort of thing I think of being very much sort of for people who are interested in seasonal eating. So the idea of a soggy old spear of that out of a tin. Roz on Insta. 50-year-old gin found in my granny's attic after her funeral. Wow. I love this, but what I love most about it is Roz hasn't told us whether that's the least or the most fresh thing. Yeah, because I can imagine when you've drunk that, it's going to make you feel pretty alive. Sheila on Instagram. The freshest things she's eaten were wild garlic. Oh, I'm tempted when I walk past it and it stinks. Just grab a handful. Big walk today. Nice fresh woods. Bloody tons of it. Fried it and add it with gnocchi. She knows how to live. I'm flipping out. That sounds nice. Least fresh. Uh-oh, here we go. Dried beans on the many boats I've cooked on. Rinse in water. And try to remove all the weevils before soaking and cooking. Some just refuse to cook as they're so fucking old. They just stay harder than... both not going in my mouth. Funny emoji, funny emoji. I think what she's done there is a dick joke, and I've really enjoyed that. That is disgusting and funny. Okay, it's time for a brilliant voice note. I'm looking forward to this. Prompted by Seb on Insta, who told her to share this. Layla, thank you for this voice note. Let's all have a listen.
Hi, my friend saw that you'd made a post asking for stories about freshest things people have eaten in honour of springtime, because he won't ever let me live this down. So this happened when I was about 17. I'd gone food shopping with my mum. When it was kind of later that evening, I wanted a little pre-workout snack. So I made a wrap with smoked salmon and sour cream, salad, and decided to garnish it with a bit of spring onion. And yeah, it was very tasty, very nice. I started doing a little home workout, lifting some weights, and about like halfway through, I just start feeling myself sweat and the nausea just takes over. And I was profusely sick, and I had no idea why, but didn't really even question it, just moved on. And the next day, I'm just chilling and my mum walks in holding the spring onions and says, "Do you know what happened to my daffodils?" And I'm just looking at them like, I put daffodils in my wrap. I ate daffodils.
Shit.
And I'm just Googling it, and it's like, yeah, daffodils are very poisonous to humans. And somehow God. I'm still here to tell the tale.
Oh my God, Layla. Oh my God, I'm so glad you survived. That's amazing. This time of year, it's such a seasonal one as well. It's the most seasonal answer ever. Every time I spot a daffodil, especially in like a shit bit of rough South East London where I live, and a daffodil has just like braved it and is still there being all pretty and alive right now, I think maybe I'm going to look at them with a bit more suspicion from now on. I had no idea they were so poisonous. What a brilliant answer. Thank you all for your amazing answers to this question. There are more coming in future episodes. You've smashed it out of the park with this one. I think you're the best, you listeners to this. Let's get back into this brilliant episode live from the Leicester Comedy Festival.
Grandiose.
Yeah, but what would you sound like if you said it now in a big boy voice?
Grandiose.
Hats. We were talking before we were on mic, right, about competitive eating and mukbang and stuff like that, and what your thoughts and feelings are on that. And, like, I find it quite traumatic to watch, but it's also, you were describing it as a sport. Like,
a
it
sport.
Certainly is. Yes. Like, there's, like, a physical element of skill to it, eating fucking those. And you said, Hattie, that you once hosted
a taco eating
competition.
I just completely forgot until you said that. I was like,
What was it?
Did it actually happen? And, yes, I was dressed as a giant taco. When I did it.
What? Even better.
I know. It was one of, but it was, look, this might be just me, but it was one of those things where I got there and I thought, they hadn't really organised it very well. And I thought, I've either just got to throw myself into this. And I said, have you got anything I can put on? They went, we've got a taco. I went, give it to me. Because, like, let's just go for it. It was a family taco festival.
Fantastic.
But that side of like the eating competition, they were like, oh yeah, I think we're gonna do this. Don't know. That the guy who normally did it was just the guy that works behind the bar. You know, it was one of those. So I could do what I wanted with it to a certain extent. So I had to go around and say, you know, would you like to just eat like as many tacos as possible?
Yeah.
And what I found was that stereotype of no women wanted to do it.
Oh.
And that was the thing. I was just like really trying to beg the women. I was like, come on. We've got to have one girl.
Yeah.
And I think we got one girl, but it was literally like a girl. She was like 11.
Well, mukbang.
11, I could see, like, I want to eat it all.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But actually, she started sweating.
Were they spicy? Was anyone sick? How did it go? Was it hard to watch? Was it fun to watch?
Also, tacos are kind of messy.
Well, is it sloppy tacos or crunchy shell?
No, they were quite, were sort of tiny ones.
Yeah.
So they were quite tiny. So it wasn't like those big, those big burger competitions or hot dog competitions. Like, what it was like. So you find them gross to watch, would you say? Or
just not gross. It's not disgust. I worry about them.
You're worrying. So you're sort of enjoying but worrying sort of thing.
No, I don't enjoy it.
Not enjoy.
I don't really watch the competitions much, but I love watching, you know, the hot wings thing.
I love
where
hot
they
wings.
Have celebrities eating really hot wings and being
interviewed.
I haven't
seen that.
And I was like, I need to get famous enough to be invited on that.
Me too. I fucking love hot wings.
Screw Graham Norton. I want to eat wings. Like, put me like hot wings. That's what I'm looking for.
We need our own personal PR team just for the hot wings thing.
Because it looks like so much fun because like they're talking and then they're weeping because it's too hot. And
yeah.
Oh, it's
I
wonderful.
I didn't even know this was a thing. I'm not the sort of person who contacts their agent often to say...
Can you just
you
get
change
me on
my
that
life
show?
If this happens?
Yes.
But I've already had to do it recently. I get one a year, and I've had to do it recently for Gladiators.
Yes.
Have you?
And
yes.
I'm going to need to ring her again, I think, and say, I'm on fire.
So are you going to be on Celeb Gladiators?
There's no such thing.
Oh, we need to create
we
it.
We need to create it.
I have a dream. And I've shared it, as I do every
Being
Saturday.
A gladiator, Annie in spicy wings at the same time.
I want spicy wings at the end of that. Once I've flown through the paper wall, on my rope. To be fair, that last bit of Gladiator, I mean, it take me half an hour to get to the zip wire bit, and I don't think I'd ever make it up the balancey stick. I'm so bad at balancing, I'm so scared of heights, I'd have to crawl up that.
Okay. I don't know.
I'd need my competition's legs to have fallen off to win it, but I'd love a go. Okay, I digress. Won't be the first time, won't be the last. Okay, taco eating competition, amazing. Have you ever done any sort of competitive eating?
I've not.
Good.
Not even. I'm trying to think of
not even with yourself, like
not. A diet. yeah. And I've always lost.
And that's a cruel sport. Oh, until this, what is the best or most interesting or memorable eating you've ever done in Leicester?
Oh.
Because I know we've all been here before with the festival and things.
That curry that we went for at Leicester Festival. Oh, that was amazing.
Strong. Curry game.
That was
Leicester.
An aubergine because we're both
I think it
vegetarian.
Was Kyle, the vegetarian Kyle.
Also, just a takeaway curry at my friend's house. Got the best onion bulgy I have ever had in my life.
Give me some detail, how's about it? What made it so good?
It was like the size of my fist, which for those that can't see, it's quite a big fist. And it was one of those where we were like, should we get onion bulgies? Yeah, we get onion bulgies. And I've been used to onion bulgies in London. This is different. But it was a mistake in a way because we got it and then I couldn't eat the rest of the curry.
Oh.
Because that onion bulgie was
bulged hard.
Was you so full. Yeah. Was so big. But I didn't care because it was worth it. I peaked.
Talk to me, what's different? Tell me about London bargee versus your Leicester bargee. Was it one where it comes in quite a solid orb? Or was it one where you can see the individual threads of onion and they're crispier and you can see it slightly aerated inside? Or was it like, you're saying yes to both?
I'm just getting hungry. The ones that I've had in London are just sort of like flat and like someone's just gone...
Stodge.
Yeah. Not even stodge, it's a bit crispy, but like you say, like just kind of crispy, but nothing to it. But this one was, it was stodge. I've never had such stodge. Like, I don't know what they put in it because the ones in London feel like they're just onion, but this felt like there was
spicing was better.
Puddiny thing in it.
Oh,
I don't know.
My delicious Leicester experience was I sometimes just need African food, right? And so I was doing a gig here, and I was like, I need some taste of home.
Yeah.
And there was there's a place called Africana, right? Very, very, and it's magnificent.
Is it a chain really place? Good. Is it an independent? You know,
I've only seen it here, but it's like you go in and already the music's African, the vibe's African. Like there was no one else in the restaurant. I didn't care.
But not in a way where you're like, someone called Alan. Not in a way where you're like, I'm going to take this to YouTube.
No. It was just wonderful and great. It was delicious. And they knew me. Like, whenever I go to Africa, they usually know me.
Right.
And so again, they're like, oh, it's for you. So it was free.
Oh, yeah.
It was free and magnificent.
And what did you have?
I had jerk chicken and rice and peas. I had, like, you know, just classics, but classics made really well.
Oh, yeah.
Very spicy chicken and just lots of texture. Like, there's just so many flavors.
Yeah.
Right? It's like almost like overdose of when you're cooking like Caribbean food, you use
every spice you've got. One of those like you take one or the other. You put as much in there and you create like, and also there's such variety because there's sweet things like raisins and then really hot things like chilies and then jackfruit, which is like it's an abomination. Right.
It's a texture.
Yeah, it's a texture. It's terrible. But in certain food, it's, well,
it's
right.
Just if it's absorbed things that are nice, it's just...
I had in Brighton, because I have a friend who's vegan, and so we got jackfruit burgers.
Okay.
Right? Which was... It was okay, but I was just like, what kind of mad scientist is the chef that they're like, okay, we've done soy, we've done beans, what are we next going to make a burger out of? Jackfruits!
Yeah. I think that's been a misfire by the plant-based community. Yeah. Like it got faddy, and actually all it is a kind of vaguely like the texture of some meats, right?
Yes. But yes.
It's a fruit. Talk to me about something you've had to eat as part of your work as a comedian or perhaps as an actor.
I've got it.
Let's go.
Okay, so this was in South Africa or Kenya. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was in an African country and I was on a morning show.
Okay.
I was the comedian and they had the other guest was a chef. Ooh. And what he brought was steak tartare, which is like uncooked steak.
Yeah.
And none of the hosts wanted to try it.
That's a fucking bold move on TV where things have to sit around a bit.
Well,
like, generally, do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I wouldn't be like, I might make some of that and then take it in my lunchbox. Do you know what I mean? I love it. I really love it. But
well, he brought it because it was like a talk piece. It was the thing which it brought. But no one read it, so I was like, I'll eat it. And then I ate it.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was terrible. I didn't understand what the fuss was about.
Oh, really?
But I only ate it because, like, literally the segment was taking too long because everybody was saying, no, I won't eat it. You eat it. No, I won't eat it. You eat it. I was like, I'll eat it. Okay, I'll eat it. And then,
I want to know how he'd done it, because I've only had it once or twice in my life, but both times have been like, you feel a bit brave.
Yes.
I mean, it's raw beef.
It's raw beef.
So, I don't know. To me, it feels like, okay, we're going in.
Yeah.
But I've only ever had it be extraordinary, like fucking delicious.
Okay.
With capers and like, it's all about vinegary seasoning. Like, are you fans in the audience? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we've got big fans of it.
It's like cow sushi. Okay. It's like the most...
They should call it cow sushi. That is a much better name. Okay.
It's the most intense umami... But you have to be ready for it to be cold. You have to be ready for it to be slimy.
Yes.
You have to be ready for it to be like a bit vinegary, a bit salty, a bit like
and
ultra
I was not,
meaty. It's
see,
not gamey. It's not.
I
like
did not even know
fusty.
It existed.
It's actually quite fresh, but very round at the same time. Fuck, it's extraordinary. There's nothing else like it, really. Yeah, but I don't think I'd want to have it on morning TV. What a great answer.
He sat under hot lamps for it.
Yeah. Well, he's here to tell the story, so everything's worked out fine. Hats, have you ever had to eat anything as part of work?
Adverts where I've had to eat stuff.
Ooh.
Which never got put on telly. I don't think it's anything to do with me, can I just say? I won't say what they are, but they're a refrigerators.
I just did it!
I was going to go, they're a fridgey thing.
Bit of fun.
But it was a massive... It wasn't just me. There was loads of other scenes. The whole thing didn't get put on. But I had to, like... Honestly, I'm really not a precious vegetarian. I'm sorry if you are. You're going to come and cancel me. But I was like, I need the money. I didn't tell them. It was fine. And because I had to eat so many, they had a bucket there. So that's the glam. So I'm sort of going on about, like, yeah, I like snacking. I can't even remember the lines now. Snacking with my mates or whatever. It's good for a snack. And then you eat it, and then it'd be like, cut... Like that. Spit it out. I also had to eat, and I still to this day don't know why I didn't just spit them out. Mm. I did a Boots advert, and they were like cod liver oil.
Oh, God.
Oh,
you had about 20 of them.
Oh, no.
My poos were sliding today.
Oh.
But why didn't I just... I think they were having a joke on me.
It turned your back passage into a flume.
Yeah. Here come the girls. Dropping the girls off. Dropping off the girls at the pool.
Wow.
Here come the girls. I'm never, ever going to hear that.
It was that year. It was that year.
Talk to me about a food that you believe to be hugely under or overrated.
Like, highly posh food is overrated. So when I do, like, corporates for the stinking rich, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The, you know, and it's always marked by, like,
it's
the level
cock,
where...
suck.
You know, when they bring the food in some kind of, like, synchronized swimming kind of thing, when the chef, like, deliver it... in a pattern, I'm like, this food is going to be shit, right?
Yeah.
Because it's really posh, but really flavorless and very, like, the state... Look, I just have cheap taste, I think. Like, I generally always find it for, like, it's a golf club and it's
fusty.
You know, they're fusty, very posh food, which costs 80 quid, right? And then, like, they will bring into the little performer's room a plate of it, like they're doing you a favor. Like, here, we know you could never afford this, but here. And then I'll eat it and I'm like, this is crap anyway. I don't want this. Can I just go down the road and get some Nando's or something?
Like, but I think you're doing, like, cheap food. You just want flavor.
You want flavor.
I think in those situations, and some weddings are like it, but, like, wherever you know that you're catering for, you know they're catering for a bunch of people, a bunch of rich people, a bunch of old white people.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
Yes, 100%.
It's going to be fucking up. It's gonna be nursing home.
You're right. That, I guess that's why you're right, because I've done expensive cruise ships.
You can tell
and
the
food was good,
the
but it was specifically it's when it's like a Christmas event or like an awards show. The food is always terrible and massively expensive.
Last time I did a corporate, there was a fruit bowl in the green room, which was lovely.
Yes,
I mean, it was hard. They're all hard, those gigs. My biggest laugh was pointing out that they put a whole pineapple in there. Nothing to cut it up with. Yeah, imagine. Oh. I'll just have a little pineapple, maybe. Yeah,
you could have just dropped it from a height.
Yeah,
see if it
tried
broke.
To smash it open. Yeah, in your glad rags.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Anything particularly under or overrated?
Only, and I know I'm gonna have enemies here, but dark chocolates.
That's all right.
What is wrong with dark chocolate?
It's bitter. Okay. And people are pretending that they like it because they're trying to be posh. And you're just like, oh yeah, and it's really good for me because, like, all the cocoa powder and it's good, like, with your hormones and stuff like that.
Have you ever used it to cook?
But it's bitter.
Have you ever used it to cook?
Yeah,
that's different.
It's different in cooking.
It's different in cooking.
It's different in cooking. Got it. But you mean just eating it? Yeah,
but
a little chunk.
You could say, you know, salt's better in cooking. I'm not going to go, oh, like that with salt. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, then I'm with you. I'm with you. Okay.
So, yeah,
that doesn't mean
I don't eat dark chocolate. I will have the odd piece. Do you know why I like it? Very classy. After eights.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's the only one.
With another flavour. That again, that's different. Like,
it's different.
It's really nice.
I'll accept
with mint.
That.
Yes.
I think it's better with mint than milk chocolate. Who wants to fight about that?
You know, we did overrated,
things
but you know what's underrated?
Things you do for love.
What's underrated, which is glorious. It's actually my date seduction soup. Like, like if I've invited someone over, I make them tom kha gai, which
Let's
is like
go.
A coconut chicken Thai soup. Oh. You know, you always hear romantic food is like French escargot or something. Nope, tom kha gai, that'll do it. It's it's coconut chicken and it's warm and it sends them back. Oh, it's wonderful.
Oh my god, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I can see
I
coconut as a good
guy.
Datey time.
And it's also got it's got galangal, which is like ginger in it, and it's just it's a combination of like spicy but also comforting.
Fresh.
And lovely.
I want it.
You said tom. I thought you were going to say tomato soup.
Tomato soup.
Quick fire questions. Hattie, ever used food as a bribe?
Oh yeah, all the time. Just on my children.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Got a go-to item that you say you can have this if you do this?
Pizza.
Great. Deliso, best three eggs in no meaningful order. Go.
We've got omelette.
Yeah.
Followed by boiled, hard-boiled egg.
Right.
Followed by just regular fried egg, but well done.
Whoa, easy over, double-sided.
Well, just no dripping.
like, at all. Like there should not be a volcano effect.
Oh. Yes, we are not sharing your
and
breakfast.
That is cultural. No, no, but I'll tell you, that's interestingly, again, this is a cultural thing because I've noticed if I go to a place here and I say I want eggs for breakfast and I don't specify,
yeah, you have to specify.
They naturally bring them runny. But
delicious.
If you half go
alive,
to Malawi,
they naturally bring them to
if you
delicious.
Go to Malawi and you ask for an egg, it will. You have to ask for... Undercook them
right, and give
me salmonella.
Can you give me a dangerous egg?
Yes, yeah. Because they naturally will make
fair,
it.
Absolutely fair.
When you asked that, I thought you meant like, I was thinking, oh, chicken egg, goose egg.
No, hey, interpret it however you like. Hattie, worst two eggs in meaningful order. Go.
Worst two eggs, like the way to eat them.
Don't care.
Oh, I don't really like poached egg.
Fine.
Sorry.
And the other worst egg? Vulture?
Just like if it's if you're having a dippy egg,
yep.
And you haven't quite cooked it enough.
Oh, albumen in there.
Snotty. And it's snotty. Now
it's time for the big end question.
A grown woman cries at gladiators on a Saturday tea time for the 11th time, and it causes a tear in reality that turns all windows into really powerful portals, all of which lead straight into David Cameron's man shed. At first, it's really funny, because it is a bit funny, but 50 or so victims in and the shed's full. It's locked, and it's full of snakes. Of course, that's what his secret Tory pets are. And it quickly becomes a terrible squashy hissy apocalypse for almost all above-ground living things. Luckily, it's agreed to all never happen, but only of you, and it does have to be you too, Deliso. And has he agreed to do the thing where you stand back to back leaning on each other in a trust exercise like you used to do when you had a proper job? For all the things that time it takes you to both and between you as a team unwrap 9 million Cadbury's cream eggs so that the barcode is not only visible but also usable, all the while singing Easter Song by Keith Green, a 1977 hit, in perfect harmony on a loop until it's done so no one can give you any snacks. It sounds impossible, but you do it! Yay! You're heroes.
We do it, we do it.
You go down in history as the pair of people who saved us all from a terrible, horrible, snakey apocalypse.
Also, could we, at some point, get David Cameron and put him in the snake shed?
Yeah, it can be your reward, that, and the adulation of all people for all time.
But your reward in the moment, and bear in mind, that was exhausting. You've done so much leaning, singing, peeling. Yeah. It took hours. It's the feast of your dreams. You're allowed to shower. You're allowed to reset. You want to be in a situation. It's the opposite of a last meal. You are effectively...
Yeah.
I want to know what you would eat or drink in that moment if you were the happiest and hungriest you can imagine being. And, like, the most pressure-free, the most carefree. This is a fantasy situation. I don't want anything that you eat or drink to have any consequences. Allergies don't count. I don't give a shit about nutrition. I don't care about... where the food was grown or who by or how they were treated. For once.
Yes.
This is an if nothing like that mattered and you were like on that cloud nine, like what would be in that moment what you would eat and drink?
Fantastic.
My first thought, which is sort of more desserty thing, and I can have both, can't
I? You can
I?
Do what you like. You can have that first.
Yes. Well, I just say, there was a famous John Shuttleworth song, wasn't there? You can't go back to, what's that song? I mean, a person knows it. It's like, if you have sweet, you can't then go to save and you can't go back again. But you can.
Of course you can.
Because I've done it, especially if I'm hungover in the morning, go, oh, it's a bit of birthday cake. I'll have a bit of that, please. And then suddenly, you know, my sister or somebody will go, oh, I'm doing a fry-up. I go, oh, yeah. And then I'll go back to that birthday cake as well after the fry-up. So, anyway, you answered your question.
Is birthday cake fry-up birthday
cake?
Yeah,
that's it.
Is it?
Well, it probably went birthday cake. It would be cheesecake.
Yes.
Cheesecake is
what
my favourite.
What flavours do you
it's all about the biscuit base.
Oh, okay. So it could be anything.
I don't, because there's like an Italian version, I think, where it's like spongy based. I was very disappointed I found out.
No,
in
you.
Italy was not good. It was not good to find that out. I was like, cheesecake, please. And it was like, no, their thing is like a more spongy base. But I love the biscuit base. I remember my first date was my mum did those proper packet ones, you know, where it was like the sort of and crushing up with the rolling pin of the biscuit and all like that. And then that sort. But now I love the New York bake cheesecake, they call it, don't they?
Yeah, the baked one. Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Great answer, Hats. Delisa?
So, When I was a kid, when we were living in Kenya, there's a restaurant called Carnivore. Mm-hmm. Carnivore. And we loved it so much that when my parents told us we were going to Carnivore, my brother and I would skip breakfast and lunch to be extra starving so we could fill our faces with Carnivore. When you go there, they give you one potato and there's one little piece of bread. And that's the last thing that you see that is not meat, okay? It is next to a game park. It's next to a game park. And the way that it works is they observe the populations of the animals. And whenever any animal goes over what they consider the perfect balance, it's on the menu, right? So sometimes there's like, you know, zebra on the menu. Yeah. Sometimes there's antelope on the menu. And they bring it out on these giant skewers. And you just keep going. You just keep going until you can't go. And I would, in this situation, I would go to Carnivore. But I would have some kind of operation done that I don't get full. I don't get full. I just keep eating. I'm like, bring it more. Bring the crocodile. And like, bring the giraffe. Yeah. And I'll just eat a bit of everything. Because you said this is a morally, this is a world where there's no endangered species. No. Elephant! Chop the elephant into bite-sized pieces. Let's go for it.
What a
How many bite-sized pieces would an elephant make, you know?
I love it. Thank you so much for doing my silly podcast. Thank you so much, live audience, for coming, watching it and being so fun and lovely. Everybody, give yourselves a massive round of applause. Enjoy your time.
Wow, I loved it. Make sure you're following those funny sausages. Deliso's always on tour and Hattie's always got a brilliant stuff going on. She's at Hattie Ashdown, Hattie with a Y, and he is at Deliso Chaponda. Come and see them do their stuff. Go and see them do stand-up and come see me, yeah? I'm on tour. I'm in lots of interesting places over the course of the next few weeks, from Manchester to Macfest. I'm coming to Dublin. I'm coming to Cork and Belfast too. Links to all these things, like always, are in the podcast notes and all over my Instagram. Thanks again if you sent an answer to any of the listener questions. I love going through them, but mainly, just go well, will you? Eat wonderful things, especially chocolatey Easter ones. Take joy where there is joy, my loves.
Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Fostercue. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855 271. Email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Fostercue, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy hoovering.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.